So welcome. Thank you for attending this talk. And yeah, just get started. This talk is about Windows Phone and with a sprinkle of HTML5. It'll be I'll focus mostly on Windows Phone and try to demonstrate how you can use Windows. HTML5 with Windows Phone. I say it's level 200 because I'm gonna brush over quite a lot of topics. So we're going to try to do it quite fast. So my name is Christian Helle. I'm a technical lead for Commensur AES. We do all sorts of mobile stuff, ALM, portal, and general software development. I do mobile development. I've been doing this since I was a teenager, so that was like 2 years ago. No, plus eight. I've been working with all sorts of platforms all the way dating back to Pocket PC 02, first Windows CEs, all the Microsoft platforms since Pocket PC 2002. And tools from embedded Visual C++ 3.0 all the way to Deb 10. If you like what I'm going to talk about, then follow my blog or follow me on Twitter, or you can catch me on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. And if you have direct questions, then the email is right there. So the agenda for today, very ambitious. We have HTML5, mobile web applications. I'm going to brush over audio and video, Canvas, geolocation, web storage. Only those four specific HTML5 topics, because I think those are the four that make the most sense in the mobile space, and the only four that makes sense in IE9 as well. A lot of the cool other stuff in the HTML5 spec aren't exactly on IE9 mobile yet. So all the promising things like WebSockets and offline stuff, not there yet. So we skip that. I'm going to discuss how to make native apps using embedded HTML5 content and integrating with the platform. So as I mentioned, it's a Phone 7 talk. So it's all about Phone 7. What you get to take home is how to use HTML5 in modern web apps, the tooling, and how to love the platform. It's all about loving the platform. So, skip that. HTML5, how many of you guys actually work with HTML5 today? And how many work with mobile devices? Excellent. Windows Phone? Excellent. Non-Windows phones. Excellent. So the audio in IE9 looks pretty much the same as the desktop IE9. That means you have the controls. You have this ridiculously small play button and the pause button. I have no screenshot here yet, but later I'll demonstrate it. The video is very interesting. If you embed video in HTML5 a page, then you won't be able to preview it in the page itself. Instead, you'll get a play button. If you click on the play button, you open a new page and it plays the video in full screen. You have some basic the JavaScript API where you can play, pause, and query the volume and some attributes as well. Canvas. Canvas is, when I first heard about HTML5, this is one of the most promising things that a thing is part of the spec. It's a 2D drawing. You can actually port an XNA game that does real-time rendering and write it to and port it to JavaScript if you're into that thing. You can manage state. That means if your canvas is blank, you can call it to save that state that nothing is drawn, and then render more stuff, and then you can call a method called restore, and then it'll render everything before save. So if you don't have to repeat the same drawing operations all the time. You can do transformations. You can do shapes, text, images. You can do pixel manipulation. So if you draw if you draw to the canvas surface, you can get the pixel data as what I call this, a 32-bit bitmap, and manipulate it bit by bit, and it actually does it quite fast. In the full IE9, you can actually do you can play one video another in one scene, and you can pull frames of this video, manipulate it, and make like black and white, because that's really cool and useless in real life. Geolocation, this is really cool. You can the browser will use the location stack on the phone. That means that it will check if you have a GPS, and then it'll query the GPS. If you don't, then it'll triangulate on the position. And if that doesn't work either, then it'll actually try to figure out where you are based on your IP address. And you have to, you're going to be prompted. It's the same way with the desktop, that if you do geolocation on the desktop, you'll also be prompted that, are you sure you want to tell this site where you are? The JavaScript API, you can query where you are now. You can call watch position, so you'll have a callback method, and they'll be called every time your position changes. And the coordinate set, the coordinate data set that you get, defines the usual GPS stuff. You have the long lat, altitude, accuracy. I think the accuracy will be the something called the delusion of position. That means how great a circle they're guessing where you are. So if you get this big circle, and you're in the middle of that, and that's where you approximately should be. Web storage, that will be like the replacement of cookies. So you have a key value pair collection, and you can set items to it. And until you, you have a local storage and session storage, and that's self-explanatory. If you dump things to local storage, then it stays there until you clear your browser history. So not everything is always remembered, but until you do that, it actually won't expire. And session storage is, of course, until you close your browser instance. There are some good things about having a mobile web application, and that means that it's a website. You open your browser, you're truly cross-platform, because anything that has a browser and can go on the internet can actually visit your website. This also means you have full control over your content, because nobody is telling you, until of course you do something completely illegal and someone sues you, then you'll have to take it off. But other than that, you can have garbage on the internet. The development environment and tools are as modern as possible. In my experience, I've been doing mobile software for quite a while, and the tooling in the mobile space is always slightly behind everything else. It's catching up, but the web space is always ahead. Your operating system independent and device independent. So as long as your browser, doesn't matter what it runs on, as long as it can render HTML5 or HTML in general, then you can open the page. The bad, it runs in the browser. I once heard a guy, I don't remember who he is, so it was unfair to quote him, but I once heard a guy call the browser as a memory leak app. So he said that, look at this, I'm going to demonstrate a memory leak. Open the browser, open YouTube, open more YouTube stacks, and close all the YouTube tabs, and then you have 200 megs of usage for browsing dmi.dk, for example. So that's a bad thing. You can install an app by saving it to your favorites, or in Windows Phone, you can pin it to the start menu. So that requires quite a lot of steps. You have to, if you want to like install several apps, you have to open several websites. You have to enter those URLs and the app starts, and then you have to pin it or save it to your favorites, and you have to be online. And yeah, the worst part of the platform is your browser. And some really bad things is that, you know, when you open a website and then you have this software input panel and you have to type a really retardedly long address, how many times do you make a mistake? Because if it, okay, autocorrect on a URL, bad idea. Tiny keyboard with giant weightlifter truck driving hands, bad idea. And maybe it's just me who has this problem, but it can actually drive me crazy. If I make a mistake more than three times, I give up. Then I lose interest. This site it can't be that interesting that I have to spend like 20 more seconds typing in something completely wrong. And another thing with mobile websites, some some patterns have been started that that designers have been loving some certain platforms, and they would force designs that are inappropriate for a platform into another platform, and do that. I mean, for example, you get a lot of these. I'm not going to mention any HTML5 frameworks because I personally don't think any of them are quite there yet, especially when thinking about Windows Phone. So, for example, a lot of the default themes in HTML5 frameworks will be iOS themes, and that's okay on an iOS device. But if you open a browser, or if you embed HTML5 content on a native app, and it starts like an iOS app, it has all the iOS themes, you're pouring Coke into Pepsi. And maybe there's nothing wrong with that, but no, that's completely wrong. That's doing it wrong. You have to respect the platform. And so that's one thing. And that's probably a plus or a bad thing that you can't control the content. I have a lot of content to show, so we're gonna skip to a demo, and let's try to switch to the device. I don't know if it's there yet. So that is a very, very simple HTML5 page. So it'll be very, very naive examples. I'm not going to go into styling. I'm just going to go mostly into the basic interesting tags for me. And then later on, we're going to integrate with the platform. Things you can do with a puzzle, things you can do with a canvas is like make a puzzle game. So if that opens. So that's really cute. I recently became a dad, and I'm of course very proud. So that's my little baby boy over there. So I made him into a puzzle because I can't figure it out sometimes. So that is pure canvas. And as you see, this is just a mobile website. So you still have this, I can still type the URL there. So if I want to like install this page, I can add it to my favorites or pin it to start. So if I pin it to start, then I suddenly get this cute item on my desktop that I can just launch that site anytime. It won't save state, of course. It'll reload the page. And this site that you see here is actually, I mentioned before, that you can port the XNA game. So I have this old XNA game. So this is rendering in real time. That is, took the same logic and lost interest and didn't jumble it. So if we go back to our page over there, where's our page? Excellent. No, we go back to, see what I'm talking about? I have this mobile website, I do some stuff, and then I can't find it again. Pixel manipulation. So here I have a image stolen from Bing at some point, and then I'm going to manipulate the pixel and make it into black and white. And that you could also do. The audio features, I'm just going to plug in my audio here. So you can see that tiny, tiny thing over there. So that is the IE9 controller for the audio tag. You can also set to not display it and control it yourself through JavaScript and polling the seek. You can stream. And if you go back, video is also an interesting part. So that's what I say. There's actually a. Can anyone see a play button there? Okay, I can't, but I can in that cool screen over there. So if I click play on that, then it magically opens a new page. So I get this evil HTML5 bunny. And that's a pretty decent way to implement video. I mean, I can't think of anything that I want to embed in a tiny screen. So like I'll have this tiny playing video, like a thumbnail from hell animating something really cool. So I think it makes sense to bring a new screen up and control it. So you still have the controls. You can skip through it and pause it and play it. The geolocation, you get prompted that. It's the same with IE9. So when you click yes on that, this will be very interesting because my phone has a GPS, but we're in the cinema right now. So if I was outside, then this would work a lot faster. But now it might not work at all. But what will happen is that you'll get the coordinates, and then I query some public map API. In this case, Google Maps. So we can either wait for that, or I can show you that after the session. Web storage. So I've already used it. Obviously, I've run this presentation in my head so many times. So if I save that to web storage, go back, enter that page again, then it's remembered. And as a teaser for later, platform interop. In my later demo, you would see that I'll be able to access platform-specific APIs of the phone from HTML5. Another way for picking up some cool HTML5 code is the test drive site from Microsoft. So a lot of guys with way too much time and skill made this fish tank app that will run at some point. So this is a mobile device, and if you can see on top, it's actually rendering at almost 50 frames per second. And that's a good example of a canvas app. So you have the power to do a lot of very cool things in a very fast way. So it buffers. So simple shapes are buffered to the CPU. Well, the complex drawings, for example, using Canvas, those are sent directly to a GPU buffer before it's rendered. So you can do very fast rendering on it. If we can skip back to the presentation. And if we can sample the code for that. Phone app. So this is, for example, a way to use a canvas. So you draw into the canvas, and then you create a blank buffer, and then you manipulate the images by using the data property or the data property, and then you change bit by bit, and this just put that image data back, and then it'll be rendered. It'll execute quite fast. So sometimes the bottleneck is actually picking up this large Bing image. So that has to be no, actually that yeah. So this actually runs on a website. So that image has to be picked up, has to be rendered, and then I can manipulate it. The audio is that. Provide a source, an MP3 file, and then it'll just play and just work. And set autoplay, and then you can add some input types and call some JavaScript code. That basically does basically calls load and play and pause, and that could be done fairly easily. The location. First, you query if location is supported on your browser, and then you just call get location and pass a callback of a callback function, and then you'll get the coordinates on that. And this code, I use Google Maps because the Google Maps docs is retardedly simple. I mean, you open the docs and the samples, you can really just take copy paste and replace nothing in this case. So that's what I use. But Bing can do the same thing. And the video as well. The video is that. Extremely simple. The web storage is a key value pair collection called web storage. So just access these keys and set the value to that. So let's move on to something more interesting. Native applications. This is really cool because you don't get to enter the URL. You actually abstract from the user that you can open a remote page but have it docked within your app. So that means you can have your own fancy splash screen, your own fancy icon, and you can do slightly more things that you might have to do specific to the platform. All modern platforms has this. The iOS has a web browser control. The Android has a web browser control. And the Phone 7 has a web browser control. And they all behave pretty much the same way. Just have to, if you invoke back to the platform, you'll just be have to implement the way that the platform requires it. The advantages is that it's easier to launch. I mean, you have a shortcut on your device, and when you launch it, you immediately get feedback immediately. And by feedback, I don't mean loading. I mean, you have the splash screen, and then you have the app. The user experience is also can also be greatly improved. You can add more features to it instead of just having a big browser. Performance, you can have you can integrate with the platform, and that's the best thing. And the user won't really know that this is a web app. This is a website running in an application. And another thing is that you can compensate for the features that HTML or HTML5 or CSS 3 or any of these web technologies don't have. How do you do this? It's actually extremely simple. All you have to do is create a Phone 7 Silverlight project. You add in a web browser control as the only control, if that's what you want. You have to set a script enabled to true to be able to execute jQuery, for example, or to be able to call back to the platform. If you use geolocation, then you also have to set geolocation to true. If you set that to true, what it does is abstracts over the prompt that you actually get, so you won't be prompted anymore. So now that you know that this app will use geolocation. You handle an event called script notify in the browser. You override how the back button behaves, because the back button, since it's an app, the back button, if you click the back button, it will close your app because that's your main form. So you can handle that you check what page am I in right now. If I'm on my main page, then that's the only time I can go back. You of course, add your HTML, your web assets to your native project if you want to host it locally. And if you want to host it locally, you have to also copy it to isolated storage. And then just set the URL of the browser component to the page you want to use. We can actually demo that. So we can do that really fast. By. So that's all you need. I intended to originally start by like, okay, we open new project, but maybe I ended up with having too much content, so we're just gonna speed up to this here. So all I did was add this. And when I added that, I also had to add this. So this is what I do. I override my the behavior of the back key press. And if the source is the main page, the main page of my web app, then I close the app. Then I let the back key bubble up. But if it's not, then I actually call, I invoke JavaScript code from my native app to execute on the browser component, and then I cancel out the back key operation. So that's plain and simple. And then you can have your own splash screen. Right now it's a default. You can have your own background image if you want to pin it to the start, and you can have your own tiny icon. If you open it from IE9 and pin it to the start menu, then it'll take a snapshot of what you have rendered on your browser screen, and then use that as a background image for your shortcut. So by doing this, then you no longer have the, what do you call this? You no longer have the URL bar. So in this demo. So this Nokia is a big thing right now. So this is actually not the default theme of the Windows Phone emulator. There's a tool called the Emulator Skin Switcher. You could switch themes of how you want your device to look. So this is the same app without the URL, without the control bar. It behaves the same way. This section here is actually a tool provided for you by Visual Studio that you can monitor the frame rate. And now, if I'm on my main page, if I click back on that, then I close the app. So in this sample, I'm entering the same website. I'm just controlling it from within my app. Pushing the boundary a little farther just to make things even more exciting. In this section, I would like to Yeah, to discuss how to integrate with the platform. I'm a big fan of the platform. I target multiple devices. I also write software for the iOS, for the Android, and for the Windows Phone, and still for Windows Mobile, which is still greatly used in industrial systems or enterprise systems. If you're out in the field, you need a phone that you can open your beer with, or something like that, or a phone that you can drop from great heights. And if you're a salesman, you don't want to carry a phone worth 30,000 crowns that's this big. You want a nice fancy phone to impress your peers and sell more. So I'm a big fan of the platform. I think the platform is your best friend, and when you choose a platform, you choose it because it's interesting. You don't just say that we're going to be on iOS as well, because everyone has an iOS. I mean, for most cases, maybe that makes sense, but if the iOS doesn't really have anything more to offer than that, then might as well just make a mobile web app, or just pack your mobile web app in a native app and don't do anything more than that. But the platform always has more to offer than the browser. In this case, Windows Phone 7. Windows Phone 7 has some concept called background agents, so you can schedule an alarm or reminder that runs outside the scope of your app, so it runs as a scheduled operation. So even though your app is closed, you can be reminded that you can have an alarm or a reminder that, oh yeah, at some point I want to remind you that you have to take a break from writing software and eat dinner. Or background agents, periodic agents and scheduled tasks. So if, for example, you have an app that queries data, web information, and what you want, that if you want to start your app, you want to see this information immediately. You don't want to wait for the service to respond and get the information back. So what you can do, you can every half hour poll for weather information. For example, get some weather information from DI or steal those cute rendered images and just cache them locally. So the next time you start your app, you're locally with updated information. The weather changes a lot here, but I mean, not that much. You have background audio. So in case that you can start an audio file, close your app and it'll still be playing. So I'll have an audio agent playing in the background that will handle all this playing of the audio outside the scope of your app. You have background file transfer. So if you download something from the net, you can close your app if it takes too long. You have sensors, accelerometers. You have a compass. You have live tiles. So you can, it's like pinning something to the start, but you can add extra information that it flips. Have a picture. It can swap. It can tell you that okay, you have two incoming messages or something in that style. You have launchers or choosers that can start up the phone app or start up the camera or display your list of contacts. Start up a browser for some reason. You have some media libraries. So if you don't like the way that that the video is rendered, for example. Then you can from your HTML5, you don't need to use the video tag. You can just tell it, okay, play this in a special page from within my native app and play it in a special way. You have sockets. You can query network information. You can query the device. You have a contacts in the calendar. You have a camera. You have the application bar. You have push notifications. You have XNA for 3D rendering to compensate of what the things that Canvas can't do. You have advertising. So you can use the advertising platform that Microsoft provides instead of having a banner that you have to write yourself on your site. You have a local relational database. You have the search extensibility. You have some progress indicators, and you can also make trial apps using the license information API, and more. So one way of doing this is that if your skill set is HTML5. Then you write your UI, you design your UI in HTML5, and you can also design your workflow in HTML5. So you write pure, you're working with HTML5 and styling in CSS and writing logic in JavaScript. Then you just, every time you need to call back to the platform, you can do it either one way, or you can have a callback method that the platform will invoke once the operation of the platform is completed. So how this works is that from your JavaScript, code. You call window.external.notify, and then you pass some metadata. That metadata could be an imaginary method on the platform that exists. So you handle that. If I say capture image from the JavaScript, I go down to the Silverlight app on the script.notify event handler, and then I check for that metadata. If that is equal to capture image, then I call a method called capture image that does something more complex on the background. So that method called capture image will, for example, switch on the camera, take a picture, store this picture locally in isolated storage, which the web browser component can access, and then I'll call back to my JavaScript, or to my web component, and say that, hey, I'm done. Now I can actually render this. So that's how to integrate with the platform in a nutshell, of course, but the platform APIs are more complex than that. So here I'm gonna try to demonstrate how to phone app. So let's do this in the emulator for now. Whoa, that's not good. So that is a big oops, and then it crashes. It's funny, you can try this 30 times in a row, and then when you have to show it to people, it doesn't work. But it worked yesterday. Have you ever used that? So let's try to see what's going on. I have some sensors. And object agent, let's just try that again. Okay, I have done something very weird. Okay, so now you see the same page that I showed earlier now contains information. Now I can query my device for memory usage, allotted memory. I can play background audio. So what I'll do right now is I'll quickly go out of my app and quickly go in here. So if I go to my audio sample here, you'd see that this will actually play, if I just borrow that. Can you bring out the audio? Excellent. So it plays in the browser, but if you're making, for example, a music service, you want to browse a catalog while listening to a track. You don't want to take a 5-minute break. Okay, I'll just listen to this track. Shh, can't do anything. If I leave this browser, right now it's still running in the background, but if I leave the page, then it stops. You don't want to have that specific page on an app running all the time. So with the with Phone 7, you can start a background audio agent, and I'll play your audio in the background. So you would see that if I do a if I close my app, that will still be on. If I do something like that, and you see if I do this is called fast application switching. If you hold down the back key, then it will show you a list of running apps, but nothing else is running. But my music player is still running. I can leave my application, do something else, check mail, and it's still there. And actually, to push it to make this sample more interesting, I passed in a playlist. So I'm playing more tracks. Oh, that's crap. So that's me in the weekend. My wife gave me a 7-string guitar for my birthday. I'm just recorded all sorts of random crap. So that's a cool advantage of doing this with a platform. So I'm gonna switch. If you can activate the phone again. Ah, that's my baby boy again. Proud dad. I'm gonna set this to deploy to my phone. So for now, I'm gonna, for example, use a camera and capture an image. So that doesn't work. So we have to figure out why. Embarrassing. Okay. There were deployment errors. Okay, today is not my day. I'll try the emulator again. Okay, let's give up on the camera. I'll try another API, the accelerometer, for example. So if I'm simulating some changes on the shape of the device, like if I do that, that's really cool. I mean, doing it virtually is so much better than doing it in real life. So you can query that. And the camera capture. So it starts the camera app. And imagine that you took a picture of something and you say accept. Then from my HTML content, then I took this imaginary picture of a white screen and set it as a background. So what I did on the platform, I applied on the web browser component. So there you can call the audio, you can do the capture image, you can use the accelerometer. And you can do pretty much everything that the platform has to offer. You just have to write the code in the platform and then call it back to the web browser. And you can also share content if you do multi-platform. That you can have you can design all your code, all your UI, all your workflow on the on HTML and JavaScript and CSS, and just call into the platform. And have this pure trust on the platform that you just say, okay, the guy who writes that section of the software that integrates with the platform just works. And from my JavaScript, all I have to do is do window.external.notify. And you do that on any plugin-based web browser component. So if you have a Silverlight application or in the WebView or the WebKit, the Cocoa web browser component, also does the same. You can always call into the platform, and the platform can always invoke into the web browser component. And the way I did this, in a very naive way, if I go to a... Let me stop that. No, okay. Right. So my browser script.notify looks into the metadata I passed. I wrap it into what I call a JavaScript request. And that basically does have a method name and some arguments. And then I made a factory I first made a class called the browser interrupt command. So this is a this wraps around what the JavaScript API wants the platform to do. So here I have this very, very ugly typical factory where I take check strings and what do you want, and then I'll pass implementations of this API. So for example, the play track. I get this imaginary JSON text, And then I persist this JSON file as my, this is my playlist into the file system. And then I tell the background audio player. So the background audio player is actually extremely simple. From the foreground up, that's all you do. I mean, it's technically one line of code. I mean, after the huge amounts of work that you have to slightly do before that. But it's one line of code that you pass in an instance of an audio track that describes what track you want to play. It could play. It could be from a local source, or it could be from a remote source. In this case, it's actually a remote source. And that starts an instance. The background agent is slightly more complex. So the background agent is actually a separate process. So it's not your foreground app. I'm not going to go into so much detail into that, because that's a talk in itself for each kind of background agent. But in a nutshell, if I can do that, I create a audio playback class library, which you have a template provided for. And it'll provide you with this very, very neat ready-made class. All you have to do is add just slightly more work. So it would provide you with something that says with something that has get previous track and get next track, and it'll say to do. But all these beautiful stuff, like all these comments that I'm not going to write comments, not for the life of me. I might write a doc, but unless I'm making a public framework for a customer or as a product, and unless I'm going to generate documentation out of these XML-based comments, I'm not going to write them. But it actually describes exactly what happens and what you're required to do. And also this very, very important part. If you don't call, for example, notify complete, or if you call it too early, then your audio playing would either break or not play the next track. So this process is started, and then it'll play that track, and then it'll play this playlist. And that is very simple. The accelerometer, for example, I start in an instance of the accelerometer, and then I just have some callbacks, and every time I have a callback, then I invoke back to the script. So I call eval with that method. The reason is because normally you can just actually say call the method directly, but for reasons unknown to man, If you call it from a worker thread, you can't access You can't access the UI from worker thread. So you have to use a dispatcher, or in the old days, control.invoke, or at least have some kind of locking mechanism that makes sure that the two threads don't really collide. If you do this, even though when you call dispatcher.beginInvoke, this in theory executes the UI thread. It doesn't work. But if you call eval first, and the second parameter is actually the method itself, with the parameters in the same string, then it'll work. Don't ask why. I haven't been able to figure it out. But if you're running it from the worker thread, from the UI thread, then you don't have to use eval. And from the next few parameters is a, what do you call this? Bring on into us. Is a collection of strings. So that means each parameter of that method that you want to invoke, or the, it says script name, but it's actually a method name that you were going to invoke. Then you have, for example, memory usage, where I am just querying the, if you want to query the device, I mean, it's a class called device status. That's it. And then you can query all sorts of information from the device. Like if you want to know if the device has a keyboard, or if there's a power source. And then I just call back to the same method that I specify. The capture image, if it would work, I start a launcher. So this starts a camera app, and then when I get the results back, it's been saved to isolated storage, and I just tell it what file name you should use, and then in my HTML page. Then I just say that camera image callback. Then I just set the background image style of this element to use that source. So it is it's tedious. It's a lot of work. But if you want to make the best out of the platform, if you want to use the platform the right way, then you might have to do these things. And one thing you have to do that if you want it to run locally, then you have to copy it. But there's smart tricks around this. I mean, you can have a pre-built script that updates a. For example, you can have a file that describes which files have to be copied and to where. So you update that every time before you build, and then that file is read for when the copying operation starts. Because right now in this sample it's very naive. I have two files I have to copy, so it's in that location, and I want to copy it to that location. So that's a way to integrate with the platform, but this can be a little tedious. So a company called Nitobe, I think, is now purchased by Adobe, made this product called PhoneGap. So PhoneGap is it wraps around all these platform specific calls. So you just access the JavaScript API, and you're completely abstracted to what the platform does. So what it does, it provides you with project templates for several development environments. So I said that you'll generate native apps, and you'll write your UI and your code in HTML5 and JavaScript or HTML. You can access all these cool native platforms platform features, and you can deploy to 7 platforms. And it's still free. It's been purchased by Adobe, and they said it'll continue to be free. Let's see. This came from them, stole it from the website. Not true. See this? Accelerometer? Wrong. Maybe eventually it'll all be there. But if this is a very promising product, that if your knowledge is on web development and your skill set is HTML and JavaScript and CSS, then you don't have to worry about the platform. I love software development. So every time someone tells me, "You think you can write for this new platform?" Hell yeah! Even though I have no idea how to do it, I'll learn it because it's cool and it's fun, and I have no life till my son was born. they also provide something called a build service. So this is really cool if you don't really care about writing or creating the projects yourself. So you actually just write pure content. You purely write your HTML, your CSS, your JavaScript, and then you upload it to their build service. They'll pack it in for you and send you store-ready binaries. I've never tried it, but I've heard some stuff about it, and they said it's actually pretty good. And excuse me. So you have that, and it's still free. It's something that's really worth taking a look at if your skill set is the web. And yeah, I love that. yeah, to top it all, I mean, the platform is still the best thing. A native app is still much better. The experience you get from making a Silverlight or an XNA app will always be much, much better than what you can get with HTML5. But with HTML5 or with web content, you just write it once. You write once and you fix everywhere. It could be for you. I mean, if you want to make a rich, very rich app that does a lot more things, then maybe HTML5 is not for you. But if you want to write a business card app, that we're also there. You can check out our website. You can check out our RSS website in this nicely looking app with an excellent background and a cool feel, and makes a background sound every time you open a new page. You can also do that, but always consider what you want. And as I kept on telling, the platform is your best friend. I mean, target a platform because it's interesting. iOS has some stuff to offer. I won't talk about it because this is a Microsoft event. So does Android. So does BlackBerry. but Windows Phone 7 has a lot to offer. And if you want to do more, we'll integrate with the platform. If you're content with just showing some cool stuff, you can do some very cool stuff with HTML and JavaScript, and you can style some really cool software using CSS 3. If you're content with that, that's a thing for you. But always consider. I mean, you don't just do HTML5 because you can. I mean, just because you can, it doesn't mean that you should. That sums it up for my talk. So if you guys have any questions. Was it too fast? I'm hosting a hands-on labs. If you want to try out the platform, so we have some 10 laptops set aside that we can. I'm going to run it for two or three times. So at around 20 to 2 o'clock, 1:40, then you can catch me in the cafe and you can sign up for it, and then I can help you out. We have a full hour each session for the hands-on labs, and I'll be there to answer every single question you have, or otherwise to help you Google it with Bing. I love saying that. I don't even know who said that first, but I think it's just hilarious. Google it became a verb. So if there are no questions, then that is my presentation. If there are questions, you can catch me at my... You can follow me on Twitter or LinkedIn or any social media, or catch me. I'll be hanging around until the end of the day. And, yeah, fill out your evaluation forms. There it is. Thank you.